Hello, everybody. It's been a while since I did this. I've been asked to redo the security recording and try to do it without any four-letter words. And I'm usually not very good at that, but I'm actually going to give it a try. This is for Ginger, folks. And I'm going to give it my best shot, but I'm salty. Deal with it. I have nothing but mad respect for Ginger, but there are things I'm going to talk about that I'm probably going to get lit up about, and I get to the point where I don't care what I say. So if that offends you, just don't listen to this now. I'm going to do a disclaimer liability. The material and information contained or given on this website or audio file are for general information and entertainment purposes only. All parties in this channel are not lawyers, nor are we financial advisors. You should not rely on the material to make any business decisions. And while I do endeavor to keep the information up to date and correct as possible, RV Project Help makes no representations, warranties of any kind, express or implied, about the completeness, accuracy, reliability, suitability, or availability with respect to the website, information products, services, audio files, or related graphics contained on this website for any purpose. All due diligence is the sole responsibility of the participant. So, folks, my name is Ms. Parker, I've had some really good days in my life and some really rough days. I've been very, very wealthy and had it all gone again. I was an outlaw cannabis grower, and then I went legal, had cannabis businesses, and so I've had very high income, and I've been dirt damn poor, because the feds really don't like people that grow weed. I've also had some rough days with protection, and it's the reason why I am so strongly about feel so strongly about getting personal security. So I gave this presentation a long time ago, and as we're knocking on the door for our redemption, I thought I'd bring it back up again because it's actually really, really important and it'll keep you safe. When you become newly rich, there's, you have a ton of money and you can buy anything you want, and you really don't know what to do. You got a lot of people telling you different ideas, different things, but having extreme financial wealth, for most of the people listening to this, this will be your first time. And there's a lot of little things in here I want to talk about as we go through this. And I call these things bird walks, where I go way away from the subject matter, but it actually has something to do with what we're talking about. So we have all seen extreme wealth with movie stars, sports heroes, people that win the lottery, And most people have never experienced the kind of wealth that we're about to experience. And it's not what you think it is. There are a lot of amazing, great things about having this kind of wealth. But with great wealth comes extreme responsibility. Some people will say, I will never trade my soul for a single dollar, if that's what wealthy means. And we've kind of seen people sell their souls throughout this whole thing. all these elites selling their souls and stuff. And to the blue pills that are not awake yet, to them, wealth equals power. Wealth equals notoriety. That's how you say that word. Notoriety and influence. And for a lot of people, power is the ultimate aphrodisiac. You can do and say and get anything you want. And I literally mean anything. Now, the bad folks have taken this the wrong way. But you, as humanitarians, as children of God, you are the people with the right stuff. So you may not know how to deal with what's about to happen. You may have a lot of preconceived ideas that could get you killed. And I'm really salty. And Ginger is just as sweet as pudding. I mean, she's just as sweet can be. And I'm going to be pretty raw about a lot of this. Because you need to know. When you take this path to become a humanitarian, many of you are stepping on this path and you have not a freaking clue what you're getting into. I'm going to tell you that you're going to work harder in your life than you've ever worked before. And you're going to absolutely have a ball. Much of that depends on what your choices are. When you have the kind of money that you're going to get, choose to do something that makes your heart happy. And it'll change your whole life. A lot of times, people that have big money, that money becomes secondary to the things that they've worked so hard to achieve. You know, their status and their wealth now has to be maintained through greed, through contracts, through indifference, not through love and compassion. God is love and compassion. So if your wealth is based on a humanitarian perspective, which that's what everybody in here is for, then ego really doesn't have a place. You might think you're safe, and you might think, oh yeah, let's do this. I don't need security. But everyone in your life, everyone around you needs you. Because you're the plug. If something happens to you, then everything that you are doing falls apart. It'll take years in court, all kinds of a mess. We don't want any of that. We want all the humanitarians that sacrificed so much, the name calling, the ostracizing, all that stuff. We want them to be the ones to be proliferate. I don't know how to say that word. Proliferate. I don't know how. I'm not even going to try that word. It means do real well. Okay? So part of what you have to change is when you get this kind of money, you have to be aware of your own greed and power. For many of you, you're not going to realize how much you like power until you have it. And it's really good. It's really good. There is really, truly nothing like being able to go over to, see, people are going to laugh. I can wreck a black card. I mean, I'm real good at it. I kept my black card in the freezer in a Bell canning jar because the sides go in, so you couldn't just run water over it and the thing fall out. You could get your credit card and run. And not that I know anything about this, if you have your credit card in the freezer in a thing of water that you have to defrost before you go use it, because that'll keep you from going berserko on your credit card, do not try to rush the process, because you accidentally will remove the magnetic strip, and then your card's worthless, and then everybody gets pissed off because everybody gets upset because you have to have a new card, and they all freak out, because if you don't have a card, nobody else gets paid. So they want you to never have no card. You always have to have a card at all time. That card can hurt you. So while you may have a black card, do not take it out. Use another color card, use a regular credit card, because I'm telling you folks, when you have a black card or a platinum card or a white card, it is not uncommon for the cashier to go into the back. Look, 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 I got a black card. Look at this, look at that person. What do you think? And basically you set yourself up as a target. Don't do that. Don't use your black card. Do not use your black card. If you've got a thing that you're going to do that you're only going to do it one time, and those people are never going to see you again, by all means. If you get a wild hair up your bottom and you think, you know what? I think I want to have beignets in the French Quarter in Louisiana. James, call the plane. Plane comes around. The driver comes out. He brings you a little box. He flips open the box. There's a contract. You don't read it because you got money. You don't read nothing like that, because if you have to read it, you can't afford it. Sign your signature on it, because you know it's a charter. It's a fees for the charter. You don't care. You got money. Don't look at it. Just pay it. Your administration, your personal assistant, or your business assistant, one of those people have already done it. You call them up. This is what I want. You hang up the phone. And then your life unrolls. Everything you need is done by the people around you. So you decide, hey, I'm going to go to New Orleans and have beignets and chicory coffee at Café Du Monde. Get the plane. So she calls the charter service. Plane's there in 2 hours. She lets you know 20, 30 minutes before you're going to go. The pilot comes off. He wants your card. Flash that black card, baby. That's when I pull that. I almost said the B word. Trying really hard. You know how hard it is to think about, hey, don't swear and talk at the same time? I've never been so aware of not swearing, except for I am right now, as totally losing my concentration. But I'm trying. So I pay with the black card, get on the plane. We go to New Orleans. I'm in the mood to be bad. So I order, what did we order? Oh God, that was so good. A pound of mud bugs. Oh my God. Eat their tails and suck their heads. That's all I know about mud bugs. And we were having so much fun laughing about this. Other people started laughing. And I was to the point, hey, you know what? Until I leave, everything's on me. Don't tell anybody. Until I leave, everything's on me. Tell the waiter that. Boom, he goes away. And they're happy now, because they are pushing drinks. They're pushing food as fast as they can get it out, because everything's paid for. We got a good time, Charlie, in the bar, and she's paying. You can have an instant party with total strangers if you have a black card. I just want you to know. Your assistant takes a card over to the gal when you get ready to leave. She signs the documents, because your assistant, you have her on the signer. And you guys go outside. There's a limo for you. The limo takes you to your airplane, and you fly back to Vegas. No problem. With the black card, they have concierge. You don't even have your girl, your assistant, she can just call and say, hey, I need this. And she that's all she has to do is call them and they can do it all. Because of the things you can do with a black card, once you flash that, you're telling everybody I'm rich. And you're telling everybody I try me. Trust me, they will. You're going to need to change the way you currently live. If you're in a 1200 square foot, three bedroom, two bath house, out in the quiet little neighborhood, you're going to have to move, okay? Because you don't think that criminals will find you. This is where I've lived my whole life, I've never had a problem. That's true. This is where you lived your whole life and you've never had a problem. But you've also never been wealthy. I've had the experiences of being around a lot of very wealthy people. Very wealthy people. Some way, way, way more than me. Some of these people were like seriously in love with their ego and they were little divas. I don't know what you call them, a guy that's a diva, divette, I don't know. And others were extremely discreet. Those who were discreet are always going to be safer than those that aren't. It's funny, I know one of my favorite guys in this channel, he is into martial arts. And one of my friends, who happened to work for me for a while as one of my security, we ended up being really good friends. He told me, in your life, be an enigma. This frightens the bullies of the world. An enigma. Be something that nobody knows anything about and everybody wants to know. And you're just tight, tight, tight. You don't talk. If you live by that rule, then what will happen is you will take away the bad people's ideas of robbing you or stealing from you. Because if they can't find anything out about you, they absolutely will not try you. Because in order to steal from you, they have to know how to make the steal, how to make the hit. So if they can't find out anything about you, they can't prepare to break in your home, break in your car, whatever they're going to do. So be an enigma. In case nobody has told you yet, the ironic, cruel twist to your funding and your finances is this comes with risk. And a lot of people won't talk about it. They ignore that it's risky. And they'll ignore that high wealth is risky up until the point where they're paying the ultimate price. They're at a bank begging the banker to get 5 million, 10 million because their kid has been taken. Their favorite dog has been taken. Whatever it is that, if the bad guys hate you, whatever it is you love, that's what they'll take away. If the bad guys are only after money, they're just gonna go. It could be you, it could be anybody, it could be random. So attacks never ever come when they're expected. Never. They come when you least expect it. That's why criminals are criminals. A criminal is not brave, nor are they honest. It's their nature to be a coward. And they can promise you the moon, it doesn't mean nothing. His or her intention may not be to attack you directly, because to attack you is to attack a hard target. That's what they call it, a hard target. The bad guy's intention may be to take out somebody you love because they are vulnerable and they are not aware of exactly how wealthy you are or whatever thing you have that the bad guy wants. They will count on the fact that your love for your spouse, your love for your dog, your love for your child is greater than your love for money. And being an enigma keeps you safe. It protects the ones you love. It does all the right things. So be an enigma, folks. Keep your mouth shut. Blend. Don't flash. Don't stand out. This is your time to be a slightly moving wallflower. Don't stand out. One of the most important things when you gain new wealth is you would love to share this news. You especially want to share this news with others to either help them or, you know, relieve some of their stress. But you have to be an enigma, and being an enigma is really difficult, as you cannot control what your family, your friends, or your business associates say to each other or to others, not each other, but to others, or what your staff says to others. The first thing that you're going to need is wealth management. You remember the Beverly Hillbillies? Mr. What was his name? Oh, shoot. The banker. He was Mr. Drysdale. Oh, Lordy, I thought I'd never forget that. Mr. Drysdale was a wealth manager. And he basically jumped how high the Beverly Hillbillies wanted to be. He was there to help them manage their wealth. And he actually was always trying to take their wealth. I think, I don't know. So a wealth manager is going to be somebody that's going to help you on the track of doing the best with that you can with your money, so you don't squander it. Okay. Many of you know that lottery winners, they routinely go broke. They spend their money in really foolish ways. It is, they say that lottery winners go broke so quickly because they do not hire the experts that can help them. And these experts are able to help them without ever spending the principal of the money. So there's more millionaires and billionaires than there ever was in the history of the world right now. And to stay in that millionaire, billionaire club status, you need something, someone to keep you from making common mistakes. Some of the things you're going to need, one of the things you're going to need is a paymaster. So you got your wealth manager, you're going to need a paymaster. A paymaster pays your bills for you. I don't know how taxes are going to go. I know we have a flat tax or something coming up. I'm not sure how it goes. But having a paymaster helps you be well prepared for any kind of financial situation, and records are, you know, accountant ready. They, you know, they do their pay, they do their pay, and they go to the next page, or they They just week to week to week, you know. We're gonna need a legal team. Right now, the issue that we have is that many of the lawyers are not aware that they're not even legal. They don't know, they don't realize that the American Bar Association is corrupt. So that's all gotta be exposed, and you know, you've gotta have everything in line so that when you do pay taxes or you do whatever you're gonna do, that everything shows up correctly. Then you're gonna have a legal team. And this, you know, this will be filled with those who, I don't know. You're gonna need to hire a reputable law firm. And a law firm that has enough staffing to handle any legal issue that is going to come up. Okay. This includes the foundation, any kind of legal issue with the foundation as well. Just because I've seen this happen, I've seen friends hire cousins, third cousins, fourth cousins that went to law school. And they think, oh, you're a lawyer. Well, just because one of your family friends went to law school doesn't mean they have the expertise enough to handle the lawsuit paperwork. Make sure you do your homework on your legal team, because this will end up being an integral part of doing business. The legal team will be able to make any outside contracts and partnerships are done up to your specifications. Background check. As you begin to build your list of staff and partnerships, you're going to want to make sure that nobody's going to come to rob you, and that nobody's going to come do any kind of business that with you, you know, your staff, that has a criminal background or is associated with any other criminal entities. Your legal team should be able to get you set up with a person or a firm that specializes in background checking. And next, staff banking. You got to be careful about staff banking. This is a lot like what happened to my friend. She had a gal that was the banker, and she had an NDA. She's not supposed to talk about what was on her page. But her boyfriend came home from prison. And he came in the middle of the night, and she started talking about her employer, about how wonderful he was and how great he is, and, you know, how much money's in the house, how much liquid she has access to. And about a week and a half later, house was broken into, and this really fancy chair was destroyed. And come to find out that this was a fraud, and there was a copy of the real one. So you've got to have everybody vetted. You've got to have background checks on everybody that comes in, everybody that works for you. When you hire staff, you have to, you don't want to set yourself up for failure by hiring people you can't trust. That's the quickest way to run through everything, is hiring people that you don't feel safe with or you don't trust. Once you have your background checking system in place, it gets a lot easier. All personnel you hire should have, you know, check any kind of work or stuff that's missing, and you let that person know that they've got this problem, whatever. Sometimes I've had clients that get their badges back, and oh shoot. They get their reports back and they find out that some of their security personnel actually had major arrests, massive financial issues. So as you hire people for your staff, you want to make sure that your legal team is setting up a company that either specializes in background checking, or the security company that you hire actually does staff background checking. It's really important. When you begin to hire people that need jobs, you don't want to set yourself up for failure by hiring people that you can't trust. If you can't trust that person or you feel any kind of queeby about anything, don't hire them. Don't hire her. Walk away. If your background system is in place, all the personnel you should hire, you should be checked openly. This and what I mean openly, I mean arrest records, financial issues, reports, bad reports from references. As you build your staff, no matter if it's your personal assistant, to your gardener, to your driver, whoever it is in your life that's helping you, make sure they pass an independent test to make sure they can be trusted. Somebody in the channel was asking, how do we hire a company? That's kind of a rough question because the requirements for this type of industry is different in each state. So you're going to have to look up the laws in your state to find out what's normal, what's not normal, and then move accordingly. So security staff. Security staff goes between two different lines, risk and reward. Hiring your security staff is probably going to be one of the most difficult things you're ever going to do, because there are so many factors that are going to figure into this risk versus reward issue that you're having. Okay. For some people, it's really simple. Say you're a 58-year-old man with 30 years experience in martial arts and competitive shooting. Your kids are grown and gone, and you're widowed or divorced, and you live in a remote area, and versus a guard-gated community. I mean, they're wildly different, but each one has a different degree of safety that you have to follow when you get there and get out. Consider the fact that there are security firms that are global, and they not only bodyguard the children of rich people, specifically the coming and going from home from school and sporting events, but the reality is that if people want your money, they will take whoever they can to get you to pay for their safe return. It's a shame, but that's where we're at right now. There's some things you need to remember when you offer somebody a job. You're going to hire somebody to take care of you. First thing, number one thing, no one is going to take a bullet for you or your family at $10 an hour. Okay? They're just not. So if you're afraid of having something actually happen to you, these people will not take bullets into the head for anything really trivial. They are going to have a well-planned mission on how to take care of you, and you are looking for skills. You don't care about their size, okay? Does the person you choose have training in weapons? Does they have training in martial law? Or how about bodyguard training? When you hire a driver, ask, have you had defense or driver trainings? Okay. If so, I need the documentation. The other thing you have to sit down and figure out is how many people are you actually going to try to protect? Wife, kids, grandkids, wife, no kids, grandparents, no wife, no kids, and your parents. Who are you trying to protect? You have to figure out, you know, you're looking at these places. They are either remote or they're good to go. You know, they're in the middle of a town or easy to get to. Or they are in town, which I just gave you all the reasons why the town is good. You have to remember that bigger is not only better, it's not always necessarily better. A good assailant doesn't care how big you are. They have a well-planned mission that accounts for what they're going to do to you. You are looking for skills, not size. A common mistake new rich will do is they will hire the biggest bruisers that they can. Those guys are actually pretty easy to defeat. You're looking for somebody that has weapons training. You're looking for somebody that has martial arts training. You're looking for somebody that has bodyguard training. You're looking for somebody that has bodyguard classes. There's a multitude of classes that you can look up and see, you know, what they are and if they actually do help you or your bodyguard. You're going to have to remember you can't hire somebody 24 hours a day. I've had two different clients that hired one guy for a 24-hour job. It's like, dude, you got the guy working 7 days a week. You got to give him a break. She needed four people to do the job, but she just did not want to hire extra people. And if you fatigue out your security, you're taking their edge off to protect you, okay? So don't do that. Let your security guy get rest at home and come in wide-eyed and bushy-tailed on Monday or whatever day you're going out. Sit down and think, who is in your inner circle? Who is really important to you that you would protect? Who's going to, you know, are you trying to protect your wife, your husband, your grandchildren? Who are you trying to protect? The next thing you want to ask yourself is, what kind of vehicle is best for keeping me safe? A vehicle is just like a house. Every time I'm wealthy, I don't buy a house or a car until I grab my security guy and say, hey, is this car okay? Is this house okay? And they'll ask me a bunch of questions. They'll look at a bunch of things. And they'll say yes or no. Or I have, the other thing I've done is gone to my security team and say, hey, I want a car that does this, that, the other thing. Tell me which car to buy. And then you guys work together, because you don't ever want to not work with your security team, because they are there to literally take a bullet for you if something bad happens. The next person is a personal trainer. I'm still highly motivated for all kinds of things, and I really don't like losing anything. It's just type A personality. But after time goes by, as an adult, we tend to get less motivated. We don't really want to go here and there and everywhere. Want to stay home. Hiring the right personal trainer will help you get fit and get motivated. And you might not like your personal trainer all the time, but if it's a necessary experience, it is a necessary experience if you want to ride the big waves when you are 70. You might want to consider a nutritionist, depending on if you have a weight problem. You know, I'm a little chunky. I need to get a nutritionist for a couple weeks. So work with a nutritionist on about your weight and any issues like that, because that's crucial to staying well. Now, a energy healer. That's another thing that I really don't know that much about. One of my friends raves about them and says, "Oh, you gotta take that." So I put that person in there for you. Not all these people that you have to take and put in your security team. You need to be sure of your electronics footprint, your social media account habits, and all that kind of stuff, Then there is the trifecta. That's not what I thought it was. I misread that word. When Google bought Facebook for billions and billions of dollars, who in turn bought YouTube and Google Maps? Facebook thought Instagram and bought Instagram, and just like that, your identity and your privacy becomes out in the public. You just become another marketing trick. And you get nonstop advertising. It's just terrible. The cloud makes sure that you can't really delete anything, even if you thought you could. The addiction to these platforms is the scariest part. I know men who don't want to know what's going on with anything. I don't understand it. They don't know what's going on with anything for 24 hours a day. They could have 2,500 friends on Facebook or on the computer, but none of them would help this guy move a couch. None of them would give him a place to stay. So getting accounts routinely backed up and creating fake problems is really rampant right now in the industry. So start really rebuilding your brand and your privacy. So how do you do that? Well, close your Facebook account. If you really still like Facebook, create an alias, never using your real name. You get a new phone number or a phone. Too many people and things are attached to a phone these days, and getting a new phone will help you often jettison people that you don't want to be talking to you, or stop people from calling in that you don't want them to call you. You can close and delete any messengers like Facebook, and that can be not just Facebook, Instant Messenger, Google, Yahoo, any kind of public account. You want to open secure accounts. I use Proton Mail now for my mail, and I would encourage you to do it too. Sometimes it takes a while to get an account, but it's super secure. Close and delete any messengers. Use an app like Telegraph, or what's the other one we were going to go to? I can't think of it. Signal. Use an app so that you can talk to each other without being on the line, and to free up a way to make contact, or stop people from being able to find you. If you have, excuse me, I'm moving in the chair. If you have a team that contacts you, you either can use your apps to have them help contact you, or you can use your phone. A lot of people will use apps. If you're going to use an app to maintain security and safety, then use Telegram or use Signal. That's their, excuse me, or use an encrypted texting, okay? You want to use a VPN proxy server so that companies don't know your physical location nor your IP address. Excuse me, you can locate yourself any place in the world. So with all the tracking that they have on our phones. So delete Skype, okay? It's super easy to hack, and it's owned by Microsoft, who really super hates deleting accounts. You have to call them and have your account deactivated. That's bad, man. If you use a program like Zoom US, if you want to do video conferencing, and attendees are by invitation adding back, so it's nearly impossible to hack. So that's a little bit of pretty good information. And I think I got through with it without sweat. Sorry, one time. I think the wheels are going to fall off. Anyway, humanitarians, you are the people the world are waiting for. You are the builders. You are the dreamers. You are the ones that are going to rebuild America, rebuild other countries, and eventually rebuild the globe. We have a lot to work to do. And my goal is to make sure that you have everything you need so that you can be safe and that you can do everything that you're supposed to do in your humanity project. I wish you well.
Plucker. Thank you, Plucker.
You still there, Parker?
Yeah, I'm gonna watch it one more time.
She went off right quick. She's probably gonna jump back on. Unless the phone went dead.
She was still showing listed, now she's gone. So she probably lost her phone.
That information is so helpful.
I just got a message. This is from Ruben. Good evening. From Washington, they have confirmed our payments within today, but they cannot tell us the start time of payments for security reasons. Tomorrow, we should have all the documentation and funds available. This was Tuesday, 21 February 2023. 7:36 p.m. Brazil. They're starting Wednesday. We'll start Tuesday.
Outstanding.
Yeah, it's perfect news.